Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and I hope y'all ready for an outstanding day today. Outstanding show. It's Thursday. It's Thursday, y'all. You can't beat Thursday, you know what I mean? That means you got one day left. One day left in the work week. And then you on your sabbaticals. That's right. You're on your own. It's your weekend. The Sabbath has arrived. Anyway, all that good stuff. So once again, this is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and you are listening to Let's Talk. Hey, how y'all doing out there today? It's Thursday, a good day, a very good day. It's a beautiful weather day out there, and man, we got a show for you. We going with the veterans again today, y'all. Like I said yesterday, a lot of y'all is going to run away. But we had a couple that came in, and we had a nice little conversation, but we're going to go a little bit further today, I think. You know, we're going to offer some helpful solutions to our veterans. For those out there that may be listening and want to know what certain things are, how they can get help, we're going to try and bring that in. Plus, we're also going to have a conversation on why I often say let our kids after graduation go in the military for 2 years. We're going to talk about that a little bit because, you know, a lot of people don't agree with that sentiment, and they have some very valid reasons why not. But, of course, I have valid reasons myself. So, you know, we're going to be talking about that a little bit. And, of course, we got to get in with the Mark Cuban statement he made in regarding to Donald Sterling and the possibility of the selling of the Clippers franchise. So those are some of the things we will be talking about today. So I hope y'all are ready to sit up down, you know, whatever you, wherever you at, you're going to get you a glass of water, a cup of wine, some MD 2020, some tequila, whatever you sipping on, and get ready for a great show. Now, if you want to be a part of the show today, just give us a call at 347-838-8622. You can email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com, or you can join us at on Facebook at Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Also, you can join us in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And those are all the ways you can participate in the show today. And we look forward to hearing from you. You know, don't be shy. You know, don't be shy. If you got something to say, call in. You know, join us in the chat room. Email me. Whatever you got to do. We always good. I mean, we can always get it on. You know what I mean? It's just that simple. It's easy. It's really easy. You know, hey, I'm not a bad guy. I encourage everybody to call in. You know, even if you're on the rooms, you can call in also. You know, you may be surprised. Some of us may be on the runes also. But y'all know what the runes are, the mushrooms, y'all. I don't know why I had to explain it. Most of y'all know what that is anyway. All right, I got my chat room coordinator in place, Miss Antoinette, sweet lady. Oh, hey, Antoinette, how you doing? Hugs and kisses. Boo, boo, boo. And we got guest 846 in the chat room and Divine Design in the house also. So we got the crew coming in. That's what I'm talking about. We have the crew coming in nice and easy. And then we got somebody on the switchboard already. Oh, boy. I shudder to think who it may be. Oh, man, I tell you. And then, of course, we have you, the individual that's listening, that's determined, trying to decide whether you should call in or join us in the chat room. Well, you know what I say? Come on, come on, come on. You know, come on. That's right. I welcome you. I welcome you to join us and enjoy yourself. Yes, we may get a little excited sometimes, but it's not. It's really not. Personal, I promise you. Well, for some of them will be. But for most of you, it wouldn't be bad. You know, it's not a bad thing. All right. So we all family here. You know, we fuss and act crazy. But all in all, you know, we do like each other a little bit. I guess that's a good word to use a little bit, huh? Anyway, I'm just saying. So, you know, we all going to do it. We all going to get through it, right? Right. And if not, oh, well, you'll get through it eventually. So, you know what? I think I done said as much as I need to say. Hey, wait a minute. There's the rules. The rules are simple. When you call into the show, act as like an adult, all right? Don't call no names. Don't tell nobody they got pigeon toes or they're the wrong persuasion. Don't be using no H words, no F bombs, no N words, no C words, no, you know? Nothing that you wouldn't say in front of your mama. And for some of y'all, I know y'all probably would say to your mama, but don't say it on my show, okay? I'm just going to put it out there like that. It's easy. It's easy. All right? Act like you are an adult. Please. All right. Don't let me send my men in black at you. I'm sorry. Don't let me send my men in white at you. Because my men don't wear black. They wear white. So when they come to get you, and you ain't going to do nothing but be able to just give it up, give it up, get it up. All right, we got Granny joining us in the Granny Gunja joining us in the chat room also. Guest 854, welcome, welcome. Oh, I would make it, Antoinette. I would be there. And yes, Granny, it did. It sure did. And we're going a whole week. We're going everywhere today. You know, I have no problem. So, like I say, anybody want to be a part of the show today? 347-838-8622. All right, so now, or the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And one other thing, email me, ericlesstalk@gmail.com. Those are all the ways you can participate. You know, plus listen on your different devices that you're probably already listening to anyway. So I don't even know why I'm even saying it again, because you're listening already. Well, get a friend. If they're not listening, have them listen to already. Let them listen already. And it's going to be wonderful. Doom, 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 doom. Oh, Lord have mercy. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. That's right. Oh, boy, if I was on drugs, boy, it'd be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? Don't do drugs. Anyway, so now that I'm clowned a little bit, let me bring this person in that's hanging on the line a little bit with me. Let's see. We got 111. Welcome to the show, Joe. How you doing today?
So you shudder to think who it might be, huh? Yeah. Well, now you know it's me. Hey, Eric.
Yeah, I had a good feeling it was you.
I thought I'd get here early today. Before
huh?
I, before you, you know, before the rush hour came and the rest of the guys came in all at once swooping in. So I thought, let me get my my ass on the line now so I might be able to get some words in edgewise.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you know how that go. All right, we got to fix the static, Joe. Fix the static.
Wait a minute. I shouldn't have any static.
Well, you do. Now you don't. But you did.
I did?
Yeah.
Huh.
You did.
It's fixed, though, huh?
Somewhat. It's gotten quieter.
Well, should be very quiet. I don't know how to fix it then if I have static here.
My bad. All right. So anyway, we're gonna start off with Mark Cuban and his little statement on his statement about Donna Sterling, you know, and it was real interesting. And then I got a clip I want to play where two individuals, Stephen A. Smith and his little buddy, I forgot his name, comment on what's said. And it's two different takes on it. And I want to talk about that first before we get into talking about the veterans. All right?
Okay.
So it's about a 15-minute long clip. But
with Stephen Smith, the guy from ESPN.
Yeah. And his buddy. You know who his buddy is. Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and play that right now. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about it. Hopefully you get that whatever that noise is fixed there. All right? All right, so here it is. Mark Cuban talking about Donald Sterling, and how he feels about the vote that's coming up on June the 3rd and how he feels it's kind of a slippery slope. All right, so here we go.
If I see a black kid in a hoodie, and it's late at night, I'm walking to the other side of the street. And if on that side of the street there's a guy that has tattoos all over his face, white guy, bald head, tattoos everywhere, I'm walking back to the other side of the street. And the list goes on of stereotypes that we all live up to and are fearful of.
I would rather you call me the N-word than you and I make eye contact and you see my face and you cross the street. I'd much rather.
Because
of at least I know.
Mark Cuban, in an interview from a Nashville conference where he was asked about banned Clippers owner Donald Sterling, Cuban's point was that we all have prejudices, we all are flawed human beings. Chris Carter obviously reacting, strong opinion of his own to what Cuban had to say. Stephen, I'll start with you first. Your reaction to both.
Well, first of all, let me say that when I first heard about Mark Cuban's comments, what was conveyed to me was that if I see a black person wearing a hoodie, I'm going to the other side of the street. And that rubbed me the wrong way. And then I went and I saw the video. And I watched it in its entirety, the entire 2 minutes and 42 seconds of the clip where he was talking about that. And I want to emphasize that I have absolutely, positively no problem whatsoever with what Mark Cuban had to say. Zero. There was nothing remotely offensive about what this man had to say. Now, I understand that me being a black man, an African American, that people are going to be rubbed the wrong way by those statements. They will need to get over it. Because if we're listening to what he said, it wasn't about ethnicity. He talked about black folks in a hoodie walking across the street. He talked about a white dude in the same sentence with tats all over his head and he's bald and he'd walk back to the other side of the street. So that's both ends of the spectrum. And now it has to bring us home to where he's really going here and where he's going, Skip Bayless. It's something that I've completely and repeatedly have tried to disseminate to people, to a younger generation of folks, regardless of ethnicity, and particularly folks within the black community who are young. And that is simply this. Presentation matters. How you look matters. How you carry yourself matters. And for anybody that wants to act like it doesn't, I'm going to tell you they're full of it and they know it. Because I don't care how hood radish you look. When you want some money and you think that you have an opportunity to get it and you go for a job interview, you're going to dress the part and you're going to look the part to facilitate you possibly taking advantage of that opportunity. So let's not act like we don't know that presentation matters. And let's also keep in mind that we don't get to bring up the Miami Heat, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Ray Allen, and the crew of the Miami Heat, who we should all still applaud to this day for the position that they took when they put on their hoodies in regard to the Trayvon Martin fatality when he got shot and killed. What they were alluding to and what they were talking about is because you have a hoodie on and you are a young black man, it's not a license for somebody to assume you're a criminal and to shoot you. That is entirely different than it not being a license for somebody to see you, and they may be fearful, and as a result of that, they decide to walk in a different direction or the other side of the street. That's somebody's inalienable right. They're not bothering you, but they're fearful of whether or not you're going to bother them based on your presentation. We want to act like it doesn't matter. But it does matter. I have been on this show on many, many occasions. It's one thing to have a couple of tats. It's another thing entirely to have tats all over your body like you straight out of prison. It's a problem. And people want to act like it's not. But it is. It doesn't matter whether you're black, Hispanic, white, or whatever the case may be. There are segments of our society that are uncomfortable with that. And because they're uncomfortable with that, it makes them raise their eyebrows. Creates a little trepidation and apprehension. Makes them look at you in a certain way that because they're not comfortable. And in the case of Mark Cuban, he is a billionaire. He has owned the Dallas Mavericks since the year 2000. He purchased them for about $285 million. They're probably worth, you know, more than double that right now with the exceptional job that he has done. And he is an employer. He hires people. He doesn't need anybody's money. He has his own. And what he did to me should damn well be, damn near be applauded. Because what he's saying is something that a younger generation of individuals who aspire to be entrepreneurs, who aspire to be gainfully employed and elevate their quality of life, he's saying, you know what? There are potential roadblocks and impediments that are self-created. Because the manner in which you present yourself and how you look matters. Now, that may not be something that everyone's comfortable with, but it happens to be true, no matter what anybody wants to say. And so I just want to be on the record right here, right now. When I first heard about it, I was uncomfortable. When I watched the video in its entirety, the Mark Cuban that I know has never ever come across to me as a racist, and I found absolutely positively nothing racially insensitive about what that man said. Nothing. I applaud you for everything you just said. I think it's powerful, and I hope the younger members of our viewing audience will take it to heart and to mind. Now, let's stay on Cuban's comments, because I also want to discuss what Chris Carter said on Mike and Mike, but since you stayed on Cuban, let's stay there. Here's the only potential downside I see to the remarks he made that we just saw. You could read between the lines that he is suggesting that everybody, including all the owners in the NBA, have some prejudice in them, the white owners.
Sure.
So, I mean, I guess he could say everybody, but okay. So he's just saying deep down we all have our this prejudice or that prejudice, and you just can't eliminate them. Is he saying between the lines then that we should give Donald Sterling a little bit of a break? That's how that could come across in the commissioner's interpretation. It could come across as muddying the waters at a time that the commissioner needs every owner to be 1,000% behind him as we approach voting day, June, what is it, 3rd?
June 3rd.
I think, okay, go ahead.
I think that's a separate subject, Skip, that takes a separate segment. We'll answer that question directly, but go ahead.
Well, I think I want you to answer it right now because that's how I'm reading it. And I'm going to remind you to keep this in big picture context. It was Mark Cuban, the day after the Sterling private conversation broke on TMZ, the Monday after when we first talked about it on this show.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Mark Sterling,
yeah.
I'm sorry, Mark Sterling, Mark Cuban was saying slippery slope that we're on here, and I wrote down the quote this morning. I made sure I took it right off his tape. He said, in terms of just saying a blanket, let's kick him out, meaning Donald Sterling, I don't want to go that far because that's more about Donald Sterling and about his position, and it's also about who's next. So Mark is saying that then if you open that Pandora's box on that slippery slope,
right,
one cliche after another, but you could then hold another person's feet to fire. You could say, this owner said this. Wait, this owner has this skeleton in his closet. So he's saying, then we'd have to make a decision on this owner and this owner and this owner. And he was making the case that, hey, it was an illegally recorded conversation. So Mark Cuban was the only owner who, even though he did say the comments by Donald Sterling were abhorrent, was the word he used. He said, let's hold off on kicking him out of the league. So now we have that comment along with this comment of some, you know, some objectivity, of step back objectivity, of saying, hey, let's all look inside ourselves here. And I don't think our new NBA commissioner is going to love those two comments together from Mark Cuban, because it will not help the commissioner's case. Bottom line is this, Gibby.
Oh, my. All right, we're going to stop it right there for a hot minute, man, because they just basically go on back and forth about that subject. But I thought it was just really interesting as far as how they looked at it. You know, these are sports reporters, and it was interesting, I thought. I really did find it interesting. And for those that really don't know what Mark Cuban said, I have it right here in front of me, and I'll read it for you. Part of it says, we're a lot more vigilant and we're a lot less tolerant of different views, and it's not necessarily easy for everybody to adapt or evolve. I mean, we're all prejudiced in one way or another. If I see a black kid in a hoodie and it's late at night, I'm walking to the other side of the street. And if on that same side of the street, there's a guy that has tattoos all over his face, white guy, bald head, tattoos everywhere, I'm walking back to the other side of the street. And the list goes on of stereotypes that we all live up to and are fearful of. So in my business, sis, I try not to be hypocritical. I know what I know that I'm not perfect. I know that I live in a glass house, and it's not appropriate for me to throw stones. Now, you know, and I guess he was just, it's really interesting, and I think he spoke the truth. Now, I'm kind of with Stephen A. on this one. I don't think he said anything prejudice. He just told it like it is, you know, because we all do have our little separate prejudice that we work with on a daily basis. We all know it. So hold on. Let me bring Joe back in, and let me bring 661 in. Hello, 661. How you doing? And let me bring 111 in. Hello, how are you today? All right. And let's bring Mr. P. Yankee in. So welcome to the show, gentlemen. How y'all doing today? And
all right. I want first dibs.
Joe, how you doing?
Hey, P. Yankee.
And we go ahead and start with Joe. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I'm same as Smith. Smith explained it, as far as I'm concerned, kind of properly. I think if Cuban had said a guy with a hoodie and had his pants hanging down below his navel with his drawers hanging out, I think that would have made a better impression. But I think, first of all, everybody's prejudiced. I mean, if you want to get rid of everybody's prejudice, you can just go on every BTR show, and there'll be black people talking about how bad white people are. And if you want to go that far, you can might as well just take them off the air. Everybody's prejudiced. Everybody has a right to be prejudiced. But nobody has a right to exhibit those prejudices in ways which take away the rights, the property of another person. Everybody's prejudiced. There are people who like fat people. There are people who don't like fat people. There are people who like whites, people who don't like whites, people who like Chinese food, people who don't like Chinese food. As long as you're not imposing yourself, taking away the rights of others, you've got a right to your own set of discriminations. And I'm done.
Well, let me say something, though, Joe. I think the hypocrisy of the governments that we live in, from Dirty Babylon and the House of America, it's the hypocrisy of our government. That's the reason why we're hypocritical, you know, on one hand with the way we speak, especially me. I mean, I don't like the history that my people have in the Western Hemisphere, you know, and for me, you know, put the evils that are done on the world, you know, like I say, the white man is given the title of the devil, but if the white man shows me righteousness, you know, or helps my, if my daughter was in trouble and a white man saved her, I would give him respect and treat him different. You see what I'm saying? I wouldn't say, well, I don't, you know, if my daughter's in trouble, I would say, well, because I feel that the white man is the devil, he shouldn't go and help my daughter. But at the same time, I wouldn't expect anything from the white man. And that's the, you know, that's the best that we can get.
And I couldn't blame you for that. Look, if you have a certain attitude towards white people because of what people have done and are still doing, nobody can fault you for that. At the same time, let's say, for example, you meet white people that are good people, nice people. Are you going to say, well, yeah, I know these white people are good people, nice people, but I don't want to associate with them because they're white? I don't know if you do that or not, but...
If I would have put a white man down. If I had a job and I was an employer, I would employ my people. But for me, you know, my people are at the bottom, and the reason why, if I had a business and I had a space where I could employ 50 people, they would all be black. Because at the end of the day, for me, it's a righteousness, because my people are at the bottom of the heap, and we ain't got nothing.
And
if
I
a
would,
white,
yeah.
The job was a black person, the white person is more likely to get the job. So I was told, and
for those who know me from being on the show and other shows, I wouldn't fault you for that. If you wanted nothing but black people inside your gym or to work for you, I've always said the white person has the right, should have the right to hire whoever you want. The black person should have the same right, and so should Chinese. People like to be with their own. It's all about whether or not those prejudices are going to take your rights away. It's not about who should associate with whom. It's about, are you going to take what my inalienable rights away from me because you don't like me? Okay? But people can voluntarily segregate and voluntarily integrate with whomever they want to do that with, and that goes with hiring practices.
Well, let me say this, though, Bill. In the situation I'm in right now, I would have to say this. I run the whole system. Everything would be a level playing field. You see?
I'll tell you one thing that you should get. It's a good phone.
For the sins of his forefathers. And then we can be play on the same level playing field. Because I would put it straight down the middle.
Well, Joe, I agree with you.
No, I can hear you, Panky. That's good. I could hardly hear you, Supreme.
Supreme got one little Obama for me trying to use
England,
UK.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, Joe. There's nothing wrong with people not wanting to associate with others. That's what they want to do. Well, you know what is wrong? What's wrong is when a group or individuals see somebody who wants to be by themselves or who have naturally congregated amongst themselves, then they say it's something wrong with that. It's something wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with the actions and the behavior of people who does. I mean, I wonder what they do when they look at a gathering of Canadian geese or a gathering of giraffes that be with themselves. I guess they think something's wrong with that.
The reason why you might get a few of our people, even a few other people, might be a certain way towards
Supreme, you got a terrible connection, man. You coming in and out.
An Obama phone in UK.
Okay.
Yeah, you need a Cameron phone. Yeah.
Oh, anyway. Yeah,
you're right.
Whatever.
Or a Margaret Thatcher phone.
Yeah. That was more aggressive.
All right. But anyway.
Gentlemen.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon.
What's
you
up,
know,
Beasley?
We're all in agreement on this. You know, Cuban didn't say anything outrageous. What's interesting is that when the Sterling story first broke, Cuban played real coy with the reporter. And he actually has some discretion for a change, because the dude always talks and says the wrong thing and has all kinds of, he's had all kinds of outbursts and behavior. He used to get fined all the time for criticizing the officiating and going through all kinds of theatrics and hysterics. But when the reporter spoke with him right after the Sterling thing broke, he said, yeah. He said, well, so what do you think about that? He said, I have an opinion, and I'm just not sharing it with you. And, you know, this dude just could not keep his mouth shut long enough. He couldn't even wait to the vote. So that's been all of 2-3 weeks ago. And now this guy, it's almost like he's deflecting, like just some of the attention for himself. But what he says, Mark Cuban. He owns the owns the Dallas Mavericks. He's probably one of the youngest owners. He's only 55 years old. And he's, like I said, he's always been outspoken. But I think Stephen A. said it good. Man, I'm glad I don't watch those two in the morning anymore. They talk far too much. They need to impose the two-minute rule.
Yeah, I don't like Stephen. What's his last name, Knight? I don't like him at all.
Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless. Yeah. No, it's a good show because they go point counterpoint pretty good, and they're both well-informed.
Right.
But, no, I don't think Cuban said anything too bad, but, you know, it's just funny that he finds a way to speak on something after he said he'd be quiet. It looks like he's going to vote in favor of Donald Sterling.
Well, see, that's the interesting part about it right there, you know, because the vote is, what, next week? Well, June the 3rd? June 3rd, and he came out and said, you know, you're looking at a slippery slope, and, you know, if y'all can do this to him, you know, who's next? So it is going to be kind of a interesting vote for sure, especially see where he stands. He says he already knows how he's going to vote anyway, you know, so his mind is made up to whatever he does. So it's interesting.
They didn't play the entire conversation about Mark Cuban. Because Mark Cuban
said...
I was
just going to say something.
Well, Donald Sterling didn't do nothing wrong with it.
No, but let me finish this. Mark Cuban, when he talked about the black guy in the hoodie, with the hoodie, and he talked about the white guy with the tats, what they did, they cut him off when he talked about how when he was going to walk on the other side of the street, if he met somebody who was pigeon-toed, he was going to kidnap that guy.
For me, this Donald Sterling thing, for me, this is a good thing for the black nation. I think we need it to hear it.
Wasn't around for that.
And we need to hear more of it.
I'm going to let that one pass.
No, these things is good for our people to hear, but this is how a majority, I think, of elite white people think. So this is good for our people to hear this. This is only good. And everything's coming, getting lifted. Because he's had these thoughts for years. And we still keep playing ball for this brother, for this devil. You see what I'm saying?
He pays pretty well, the checks don't bounce. Right, his money's good.
All right, hold on. Let me bring Michael in. That's a good point, though. His money is good. But still, do you really want to play for
somebody? Anytime I've got involved with the brothers for the cause and throw the fist up in there, I lost money.
Well, that's because you don't like black folk anyway, Pianki. Go ahead, Michael. You up?
He likes black folk. He just likes white folk better.
Okay.
Well,
anyway,
I really don't know
ahead,
what
Michael.
The guy's talking about. I'm just tuning in.
Yeah,
I like Stephen A. Smith, though, Joe. I mean, what you talking about? I think it brings a little
We're talking about Mark Cuban. We're talking Mark Cuban. and his statements he made about Donna Sterling. And basically he said everybody has prejudices, and, you know, you should be careful if you live in a glass house. You should be careful about where you throw your stones. So basically that's what he's saying. What, Pianki?
What's up, if you're going to have a topic on your show, you should require your panelists to have at least 10 hours of research in the topic before they're allowed to speak.
Well, no, well, this is easy. Well, I would like to make my statement.
Not 10 hours, how about 10 minutes?
Right, well, how about 10 seconds? Thank you for addressing me. Well, this is interesting because the vote, everyone's going to be watching this vote this summer. It's going to be a real hot and sticky summer in the NBA. Because the voters who vote to keep them in, that may have some backlash. They may have to explain their vote. The players union,
if your owner
agrees with this guy, right? So I think what Mark Cuban is saying is, you know, you just got to watch your word. Once again, public relations. Even he has to watch out who he hangs around. I mean, they tell us watch who we associate ourselves with. So he associated with a woman. That's going to tape record him. I mean, like I said before, he should have had her walking around the house butt naked. That's all I got to say for now.
What the
hell? Listen to that. Oh, my God. Holy geez, there's a vortex where Mike just got himself off.
But wait a minute. Okay, have her walking around butt naked. Okay. Wow, that's
He's
interesting.
He's thinking she was walking around with the wire on her like Al Sharpton.
Oh.
They had recording, professional recording information. That's why it came in so clear. A recording equipment that was built there in the home, and he agreed to the recordings. No matter what he's saying, he's agreed to have the recording because he said he was forgetting things. Don't you think they would have slung her ass in jail already or charged her with something? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't touched that.
Well, they say that he tried to persuade the NBA investigators to doctor it and say that wasn't his voice. So
that's
he was
his
covering
job,
his back,
man.
You know.
He's going to do everything to save his ass.
Right, exactly, right.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Sterling is dirty. He's real dirty. He hasn't played fair with anybody. And I remember a bunch of these cases over the years, but I read an article about him. He didn't pay Bill Walton, and he didn't want to pay Bill Walton. There's two coaches, Mike Dunleavy and Bill Fitch, that he fired. I mean, when you fire somebody and they have time on their contract, it's outline of the contract that they're due money. And he didn't pay either one of them. He litigates with everybody and everything. His wife, even when they've got all that money, his wife sued somebody once in small claims court for $2,000.
Wow,
well, Trump
really?
Was going to sue.
I
Rosie
sued somebody
Obama.
For 76.
Well, I can believe that, Pianki. They probably didn't shine your shoes right, and you got upset. I understand.
$76 you sue somebody, it costs more than that to file the papers.
Not back when it first came out.
Okay.
And Trump was going to sue Rosie O'Donnell for saying that he went bankrupt.
Yeah.
He did go bankrupt. He didn't go bankrupt. But one of his
Trump
businesses
filed for
went
bankruptcy twice. Right, the rich people filed for bankruptcy. Each system
filed for personal bankruptcy, the company that he
bought. Right.
There's a difference between filing for it and actually going bankrupt. That's why he wanted to sue.
Chapter 11 is business. Chapter 11?
Hmm.
Yeah, he
that's
never.
Your,
officially,
that's
I don't think he ever officially went into either Chapter 13 or Chapter 11. I think he was headed that
chapter
way.
Chapter 11, he did it twice.
He went into He went bankrupt twice.
Chapter 7 means the party's over. Cancel Christmas.
Right, but he's doing it on the business sense. Right, he's doing it on the corporation bankruptcy.
Yeah, that's Chapter 13.
That's
the organization. That means you don't pay your bills, but you can get money coming in to build your reserves up. His daddy came in with $3,000 and bought $3,000 in chips right after he went into bankruptcy and gave him money to work with.
Good to have a daddy.
Good to have a daddy like that.
You know what? Check this out. It's a question in the chat room, and it's interesting. And basically it says, Beasley's logic about veterans not being victims of an unjust VA system, then shouldn't Clippers players be held to the same standard? They knew Sterling was a jerk.
That's true, Black Beasley. That's why I say it's a good thing that the black man in America hears this.
Well, that's what I said a while
back.
Don't
be so quick to play basketball.
So black people have babies in this country because they know that this country is racist?
Well, how about the players who over the last 10 years?
Where this stuff is going to end, gentlemen? Black people have babies in this country.
Everybody can talk at one time. Everybody can't talk at one time. So I think Joe was saying something real fast. Joe, you said something?
Yeah, I said that before. I said over the last 10 years, since the players knew about what Sterling was, he used to yell at one particular player going up and down the court.
Aaron Davis.
Yeah, and he actually was in litigation with other things about it was housing. The players knew this, yet when they came out of college, didn't they accept the money to play on the Clippers?
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Yeah, he did buy him housing. That was the final deal. House, car.
They earned it.
Yeah, yeah, hold on. Oh, wait, go ahead and finish, Joe, real fast.
No, that was it.
Okay. Supreme, you up.
I was just saying, as I said before, these things can only do well for the spirits of our people, so that at least we can stop once. You know, maybe 10% of our people from playing basketball and do something else and build up the community, do some trade, some engineering.
Stop doing what?
Can't be playing no basketball and that ain't going to get us no free.
Get 10% of people to stop playing basketball.
Do they play
basketball
in the UK?
Intellect. The world only respects intellect and what you can build. Ain't no one going to respect. That's why we don't get no respect. And the black man in America is the laughing stock, one of the laughing stocks of the world.
Give me a break with that shit.
I'm playing basketball.
The black man in America is one of the most copied. It pushes popular culture, pushes style, pushes lingo.
That's
pushes
right.
Everything. Pushes
that's
everything.
Right.
And is resilient
that's
as hell.
Right.
Has not got wiped out in this.
Well, they don't push us no science or technology.
But where's it left? Where is it left? The black man in America.
In
I don't
Silicon
know what you're
Valley.
Talking about. I don't
we're
know
not,
if you're watching
right.
reality
not with
shows.
The right things, brother.
I know plenty of black people sitting real pretty, doing just fine right now, with not a lot of complaints.
You know, blacks during slavery time was allowed to do safe things like entertain.
I just want to say something to Bill that easy, but that don't mean there's no problems in this world. Just because you're
Who's
sitting
not
down
saying there's
you're
not
okay,
problems in this world,
it don't mean there's no problem with the world
statement
around you, though,
that
brother.
All black,
majority,
that like all black men in America
this planet
are
messed up.
But you're making
up,
a
brother.
Blanket statement like all black men
this,
in America.
No, I'm not making no blanket statement,
are
brother.
Fucked
this
up.
Planet's
yeah, when you say something like
shape.
Black men are the laughing
and
stock of the damn
you
world,
you can have
what
all
are
the
you
money
about?
You want, me, but it's going to soon hit your way as well. This devil's trying to eliminate
about?
All middle class.
What are you
this
talking
devil's going to eliminate the middle class.
Good grief.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell
you.
You know,
I've worked all my life.
You ain't too far off with
that. Let me tell you something, Supreme. I've worked most of my life to avoid becoming a statistic.
5 million
pounds, brother. I've worked most of my life and have thought and maneuvered most of my life to avoid becoming a statistic. So I don't give a, you know, you don't have to fall by the wayside because others fall by
the wayside.
With
the world, brother. The problem with the world. We've got to be concerned about what's going on around us, brother.
God.
All right.
Only thing that's going on around me right now is this conversation and my African cichlids playing chicken games with each other.
What? Mm. Yo, what, Beasley? Mm-hmm.
My African cichlids are very territorial, and they've got some rivalry going on right now, where I'm watching these dudes stand off with each other. They might be trying to breed again. I've got aquariums. That's all.
Ah,
That's the most conflict I see right now.
How
do you feel when somebody says that black American men are the laughingstock of the world?
It's pretty close.
Okay. Please explain that, Mr. Pianca.
The Middle Easterners come in your neighborhood and take control of your businesses.
What neighborhood?
Right,
you know, you guys assume that everybody lives in the hood.
North Grand.
The ghetto.
County, too.
Pardon me?
The county, too.
Intelligent circles, Black Measley, you're the laughing stock of the world, the black man in America.
Ignorance. When they come over here, the only time they unify is when we're selling drugs. When the Jamaicans came over here, when they try to unify with blacks, they bring their drugs over here. That's how they try to do. But I want to say something. Pianchi said something. He said, correct me if I'm wrong, whites did not want blacks to do certain with play interest because that was a safe thing. But see, when the Industrial Revolution started, they did not bring the blacks into the assembly lines, in the factories, where those skills in manufacturing, you know, needed to be done. So that would have, if we would have started on the Industrial Revolution, hold on, listen to me, if we would have worked with the Industrial Revolution with them, you know, instead of putting us back, right, and not being scared of black people handling equipment or learning technology, it would have fostered something in our families, right, to grow up and be that. But what do? They want to foster us, like you said, in entertainment, playing music. Now you have all of these boys in the ghettos want to aim to be one in a million shot. No, we need to educate and say, if you're not going to be a basketball player, there's many businesses that make up that sports arena, a cameraman, a commentator, any type of thing. There's many businesses that makes up that sport. So there's other industries that you can go into if you like sports. We have to broaden our horizon. You know what I'm saying? So when we have these young kids wanting to be hip-hop artists and be the number one shot, and realistically, they really don't make the world go around. The stars, I mean, they help, but the people who actually work in the factories each and every day at McDonald's, at your government agency, they actually make the world go round to be more important. And this is what it steals from slavery. So that's all I wanted to say.
I'm waiting on you to start saying something.
Me too.
Oh, no, I was just, when you made that statement, I was bringing it to the now. Because we can't separate the past from the now.
Okay, basically what Michael was trying to... I got you, Mike. Basically, what Michael is trying to say is we have to start holding each other to a higher standard, you know, and we need to stop blaming white people for everything because, you know, at some point it stopped being the white people. Michael,
I never said that.
I told you,
I'm trying to help you, but okay, fine.
No, you can't speak for me, Mr. Talk. You can't say I said
no, brother,
that. Okay, all right, Michael. All right, fine.
Who else going to try to tell us what Mike said?
But I'm not. Say the reason I speak on the devil and weakness of the white man, right?
Oh, God.
It's just the way of bringing my people together because we have a common threat. And that's just my way of bringing us together as
poverty.
Black people because we come together, and that's the reason why we're in the situation that we're in. If there was, like, for example, if there was a revolutionary group, anytime there's a revolutionary group in Africa, all the European countries put their differences aside and make sure they go and protect that interest, right? They don't want no black countries to come up, no black people. They don't want the black man to come up. So this is the reason why I say it is just a way of bringing our people together in some way. And we know we have and we can always identify with the wickedness and the devil's foot on our necks. We can all relate to about that as black people.
Poverty.
But despite you saying that, we still have to come up. Despite you saying all that, the white man doesn't want us, we're still going to have to fight and still improve ourselves at the end of the day. That's the solution.
Poverty. All black people ain't the same, right?
Ooh-wee.
Well, no. But
say it again.
Just
say it again, Tree Talker.
Up, if you but the same, if
that's
no,
what
I'm
all
trying
black to people are not the same. Yeah. All black people are not the black, same, but... But guess,
all black
I
people not the same, Mike.
If me, listen, if
it's the
me,
same
you and
head
B
head
were
head
in a corporation, if me,
we're brothers.
If me,
we're brothers.
If me and you, if me, Beasley and Pianki were in a corporation, we're different from different black gowns, but we have something and we can identify as black. When I look at Pianki, I say, that's a black brother. When I look at Beasley, that's a black brother. Even we from different backgrounds, we have something with that. All that white company, we're the only three. You can't say that we don't have something in common. You can't say something. Come on.
If we worked at a corporation and had a good job, I wouldn't say hi to neither one of you.
Well, Beasley, that's the problem with the world, bro.
That is not the problem with the world, because they're different type of people. Pianki would tell on me and throw me under. Pianki would tell on me and throw me under the bus with the white boss in a hurry.
With 30 pieces of silver.
You see Beasley over there? You see what that nigga's doing over there? You need to get rid of his ass. He would do that in a hot second. And Mike.
30 pieces of silver, you're right.
Okay. Oh, Beasley, let that word come out. I told y'all, I'm not having that. All right, so we done calmed down now. And, you know, whether you said it or not, Michael, basically what you're saying is we need to hold each other to a higher standard to make things better. That's it. It's all right. It's all right.
Yes.
You didn't say it per se, but you said it. That's what you really was saying, okay? So, with that being said, let's move on, man, okay? Let's move on from that. Y'all funny, though. But before we do it, I got something that Bill Cosby said that I thought was really interesting. And let's see what he says. I say this all the time. It would be like white people saying they are European American. That is totally stupid. I was born here, and so were my parents and grandparents and very likely my great-grandparents. I don't have a connection to Africa. To no more than white Americans have to Germany, Scotland, England, Ireland, or the Netherlands. The same applies to 99% of all the black Americans as regards to Africa. Stop already. Whoa. With names like Shaniqua, Taliqua, and Muhammad, and all of that crap. All of them are in jail. Brown or black versus the Board of Education is no longer the white person's problem. We have to take the neighborhood back. People used to be ashamed. Today, a woman has 8 children with 8 different husbands or men or whatever you call them. We have millionaire football players who cannot read, million-dollar basketball players who cannot write 2 sentences. We, as black folks, have to do a better job. Someone working at Walmart with 7 kids, you are hurting us. We have to stop holding each other to a higher standard. We cannot blame other white people. So basically what Michael was saying also. So that is what Bill Cosby
said. Can I say something about that?
Can I
remember?
Don't attach what I said.
Okay, shut up, Michael. All right, go ahead, Pianki. Go ahead, Pianki.
Can I rebut with that as well?
I think Bill Cosby had a outside-the-family baby with a white woman himself, didn't he? And what were the girls complaining about? He didn't answer her, something of that nature.
She tried to extort him and ended up going to prison.
Yeah, now why would she have to extort? Why would your daughter have to extort you if you wasn't taking care of your daughter the right way in the beginning?
She was being supported. She was a hush.
And what
baby.
Is he doing? What is he doing having a baby outside his family? He's supposed to be the all-American dad.
Look. Regardless of that, what about what he said? I ain't trying to hear all
about
that.
About the woman
please,
having a baby
brother,
with 8 different men. That's what you call diversity.
Diversity?
Making a joke.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I don't know if I'm getting older, and my views are changing, and my thoughts are changing. You know, Muhammad Ali said, "A man that thinks the same way at 50 as he did at 20 wasted 30 years of his life." Bill Cosby isn't speaking anything but the truth. Now, years ago, when it was like maybe 15 years ago, when he was complaining about the ratchetness of the youth and what he saw and how they were loud and obnoxious and problematic out in the world, and they weren't conducting themselves in the right manner. I thought that he was extra for that, that he shouldn't have been saying that. But now that I look 15 years later, and I look to see the state of affairs with young folks, you know, he might have been able to see something that I didn't see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
I didn't take his seriously.
Can I say something though, Eric?
Okay, hold on for a minute, Supreme. Hold on for a minute, Supreme. Well, you know, statement he read, he talks about the kids also, you know, and you know when he wants to blame the kids, he said, but eventually when he turned around and he look at the mother, the way the mother speaks, he understand why the kids speak are the way they are. So it's very interesting. But go ahead, Supreme. Then we let Michael talk.
No, you know, this is just a rebuttal. The statement was just made from that comments that you was reading out. Now we have to understand. I mean, even that whole speech that you just read out, was hypocritical. You know, I don't understand, because if on one hand you're saying that you're not African, and you don't connect with those people, you was born and bred in the United States, right? But then you're saying that you've got basketball players you can't read and write. So do you see what I'm trying to say?
I agree with
that person's not talking about white people. He's saying that it's not about black and white, brown and whatever. And I'm saying, but you're still, why would you say that?
Slow it down so we can understand what you're trying to say.
Well, maybe Bill Cosby
was rubbish. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe the kids speak that way from watching Fat Albert and the Kids, because they spoke that way on his cartoon. And another thing, Bill, you have no business telling people what to name their children. People name their children what they want to. Your great-great-grandmother, you mentioned, probably had three names in one day.
You are really special. I'm just ain't going to listen to no more of that. You special, Pianki. And you know, my goodness. Let me bring Rick in. Rick, hello. How are you doing today?
Hello.
Hey, what you got for us?
How are you?
Fine.
How are you doing?
We're doing great.
You're on the air.
Oh, I just want to let you guys know that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
I feel a drive-by coming in.
Here it is.
And I'm proud of
Okay. Well, thank you, Rick, for that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Michael.
Well, first of all, Mr. Talk, I speak for myself.
To be an American.
Well, you get shot every moment that you call. Okay. Next. Go ahead, Michael.
First of all, Mr. Talk, I speak for myself. I speak very clearly. I don't know what you're hearing when you hear me speak. But do
Michael.
Not put what I say. Hold on.
Michael,
listen to me.
Move over. How you gonna tell me to listen to you? You listen to me for a change. Dang it.
Okay.
I wasn't trying to say you said that verbatim. I was trying to say the point you were making came to that, okay? Quit, big man. Listen.
No, and you could have read that statement, and you shouldn't have said that what I was trying to say. And I'm trying to tell you what I was saying does not, don't compare what I said to none of what you just read. What that man wrote is the problem of the damn world, demeaning a mother who got seven kids from Walmart.
Now, let me tell you two individuals something real fast. What you mean that's the problem? No, the problem is we sit back and let it happen. That's the problem. Now, whether you're a man with extra kids out there, you ain't taking care of them, that's your fault. If you got women out there having babies just to stay on the system, that's their fault. But you know what? When it comes around to everything, it's our fault, because we have to take care of them. We have to deal with it, and it keeps us down. Now, I don't see what y'all talking about. That's not the problem, because that is the problem. And every time somebody speaks to, the truth about this thing, everybody want to get their little backs up and bowled up like they the big bad wolf or something. Come get your brains in the right place, people. If we actually, a lot of more of us thought like this and did something about it, then we wouldn't have all these issues. But no,
you know, even P. Yankee with his crazy thinking ass, he know something needs to be done with that. You know what I mean? And Supreme, don't give me this crap. Supreme, don't give me that crap about the white devil, because the white devil only done so much. We done the rest to ourselves. So I don't want to hear nothing about no white devils.
And in America, we've been fighting for the last 400 years for some equality, justice, and freedom, brother. And we still ain't got it. The devil just giving us more options in this day and age. There ain't no difference from the plantation from now. It's just the devil giving us more options.
I got a reward of 100 pounds if Poverty Supreme can say 3 sentences without the word devil.
Anyway, look, it's like this, Supreme. You know, when everybody keeps talking about the plantation, be honest with you, we all in the plantation, because we all dependent on the green stuff. We all depend on the government for the most part, even though we try not to depend on them. We all on the plantation, and that's the problem. We, you know, a lot of us then became acceptance of what this so-called plantation is, to where we think we better than others, and we are the ones above them, and we look down on them like they're just a trash, when we should be down there with them trying to help get them to where we need to be. But no, everybody wants to sit here and say, well, Bill Cosby is not telling the truth and he's saying the wrong thing and he's denying his own people. And I say that's a bunch of hogwash. The man is telling the truth, and sooner or later we're going to have to realize it and start taking action and quit talking about it. Now,
Bill Cosby is telling the truth. Especially in that statement.
I haven't had 30 seconds to respond.
He's absolutely telling the truth.
I'm
because
blaming people
because
for what they name their kids. Come on, man.
Well, that was a little extra.
Thank you,
Peter. That was a little extra. But the better point that he was making, the more important point that he was making, is somebody that doesn't have skills or hasn't prepared themselves that has, you know, an inordinate amount of children that the rest of us take care of. It's a drain on society. It lessens the quality of that person's life, and it probably puts out children that are not going to have, I mean, there may be some exceptions out of a litter of 7, but most are probably going to encounter more difficulties because of lack of resources.
Look, man, he is on the plantation. You would have called Bill Cosby Fiddler. That's all he is. He's a fine one to speak. He's got billions of dollars.
You know what?
He's got billions of dollars. Why don't he help the black?
When you get older and you really examine things, maybe your opinions have changed. Because I was really disgusted with Bill Cosby when he came out 15 years ago, and he's dragging black people's mud out there for everybody to see. But 15 years later, and I look at the ratchetness that's out there, and it's not everybody, but there's a lot of ratchetness. And
well,
a lot
here's the point, if previous black generations had left these young generation with something to build off of, then maybe the ratchetness wouldn't have been out there.
Man, there's a lot of reasons for the ratchetness and the ignorance. Okay, there's a lot of reasons. Yes.
But black
all right. Well, I got to look. Okay. I got a solution to this whole thing. I really do. And I've said it many times on the show, and nobody really want to pay me no attention, but I'm going to say it again. You know, to solve some of this problem, all our young people should at least spend 2 years in the military to get their dang on lives together, get something. Now, there you go calling me Mr. Solution. You done did that a couple of times, Michael. I don't know who you're talking to. But anyway, and I really think that's what should happen. You know, that way, they're going to get an education, get some discipline, you know, hopefully save some money, they know what they're doing, and find out what they want to do. You know, plus that takes them off the street. They're not out here killing each other, selling drugs to each other, what have you, you know, and they're doing some things. That's what I'm saying. You know, that's what I look at.
Some people
may say that's not a good idea, but yes, I think it is a damn good idea. And maybe we would change the way the communities are going, because they get to see the way other people live in other parts of the country and other parts of the world. to realize that it's not, it doesn't have to be that way where they are. That's all I'm saying. But go ahead, Beasley.
No, I don't particularly care for the military. I think I made that clear yesterday. But it's not necessarily a bad idea. And there's a lot of young folks with no direction that could probably do them some good. It absolutely
point.
Could do some good.
How about the
black
how about the good old-fashioned solution that everybody else just wants to
but
make
But I don't
man?
Think it should be compulsory for everybody because everybody's not built that way. And not
well,
everybody
you know what?
Necessarily
that's why,
needs that.
Well, that's why they only do 2 years.
Brother, let me,
look, it's like
Eric,
this.
Let me say
so. Once they get out of high school, if they have a college acceptance letter, a scholarship, they go to school. All right? But if they just getting out to do nothing, then yes, 2 years in the military, male and female, which gives them 2 years to get their thought process together, get some more discipline under them, and then they can decide what they do, whether they want to stay in longer or get out and do something else. But at least that gives them 2 years to work it out.
Brother,
I don't think that's a bad idea because it gives some people with idleness, and we know that an idle mind
the military ain't
going to
take
it.
Brother Eric. Let's examine Bill Cosby.
I haven't
right?
even responded, man. Y'all been dominating the conversation. I talked for 30 seconds, got muted for about 5 minutes.
Brother Mike, I was on mute as well, Brother Mike.
I don't want to be biased. I mean, everybody got their opinion. I haven't even said once again, please, let me have my 3 minutes.
Mike, you spend more time complaining than you do saying anything.
No, I want to make a statement. I say again, don't compare what I said to that damn recording. And I am woke. I'm very conscious. Now, listen, Bill Cosby made some valid statements, but when he says someone should name their child a certain name and you should not call them in a certain vibration that comes out your mouth, it's the problem of the damn world. You don't do that. Now,
you're missing
right
the whole
when
point.
The mothers, oh, he cut me off. I haven't even I'm done, yo.
No, you're not. You'll be back.
He hung up. Okay.
Mike got a point.
Back, I bet 50 pounds he'll be back.
Look, here's my interpretation.
Let's examine,
what was
but
going
let's
on
examine
with
Bill Cosby. Let me
go hold up, Supreme. Hold up, Supreme. All right, go ahead, Joe.
No, I'll go after Supreme. I don't mind.
Okay. Go ahead, Supreme.
I mean Bill Cosby now, right?
Uh-huh.
He's a billionaire, I believe, yeah?
Yeah, he's
right.
A multi-hundred millionaire. He's very wealthy. He's
got,
a rich man.
Hold on, brother.
Go ahead.
We have to look at, examine, all right, what he's saying, because it sounds like a man that cares. Let's examine if he really cares now. Let's look at his money. This man's a billionaire, right? If I believe
he's very,
it.
He's very rich.
If I believe so, right? Okay. At least a couple hundred mil.
Right.
Now, in America last year in Chicago, 57 schools got shut down.
Uh-huh.
Are you telling me? I know it costs at least 4.5 million pounds in the UK to build a school, right? Well, a state-of-the-art school would cost 4.5 million to build a state-of-the-art school in the UK, right? So I'm saying if this guy's got hundreds of millions of dollars, right? Why don't
he build
use his money and
oh,
open
God.
Up one of the schools? Then criticize the black people.
Can I respond real quick?
Go ahead, Joe.
It's quieted down. Go ahead.
Here's the thing, what I'm interpreting from Bill Cosby. He's not saying that you can't name your kids LaQuisha, Tawisha, and blah, blah, blah. What I think he's saying is that instead of black people and concentrating on being African-American and not having a pot to piss in, try to concentrate on making sure that you raise yourself up, you make sure that your kids go to school, et cetera, et cetera. The same as he was talking about that European-Americans, white people don't call themselves European-Americans. Okay? That's what I got out of it. I don't think he's saying you can't name your kids. He's saying if you concentrate on raising yourself up, making sure your kids go to school, making sure that they have some kind of future to look forward to, you can still name your kids yada, 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 but at least you got a pot to piss in. That's what I'm getting out of it.
Good points. All right, listen here from Beasley. Go ahead, Mr. Beasley.
Supreme doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. With all due respect, because in 1988, Bill Cosby and his wife gave $20 million to Spelman College in Atlanta. I know they've given untold millions to Howard. I'm looking it up right now. But I didn't know that he gave $20 million. He pledged $20 million and gave it to Spelman College. I know they've given numerous scholarships. Now, they don't necessarily help the people at the very bottom, but they've donated tons and tons of money. And I'm looking for some more articles. But he gave $20 million, and that was in 1988. And he's put his money where his mouth is.
No, that's about the same.
So he's actually paid the cost.
To be the boss, right?
To be able to be some type of moral authority to have an opinion. I never thought I would be saying that, but that's the way that I see it. He put his money where his mouth is. He's not just talking. And Joe was right as far as the names. What he was saying is that you're trying to tie into some African identity that's elusive and it's hard to trace back. That's what he's saying. Joe had that right. That's all.
All right. Great. Good points. Good points. All right. Mr. P. Yankee, you up.
Well, I agree with Mike. There's nothing wrong with a person, and they do it all the time, tie themselves back to their heritage easily. It's not elusive. It's not very difficult to trace back unless it's some. You see, there's a difference between black and adjective black African-American. Anybody with common sense would always figure that out. And once again, all black people's not the same. Bill Cosby. If we can praise Bill Cosby for giving money to Spelman and Howard, then we should go ahead and praise Dre for giving money to UCLA. Black kids go to UCLA. We want to criticize him. Something's wrong with this group.
I think something more wrong with you than this group. All right, Pete Poverty, you up next.
Can I rebuttal that? Okay, now let me rebuttal that. Now, this is the thing. As an intelligent man, I see what the problem is, especially in America. When these rich people, they're putting their money in the universities, but no, they should be putting their money into kindergarten and junior level, not into the universities, because Negroes won't even get there because of the poor and all the secondary schools getting locked down and not getting the right education. You see what I'm saying? They need to build black secondary schools and kindergartens. The best way to get so these, and that would be the best way to conquer us having our children into gangs in the future, is by putting more money into the kindergarten, teaching our children from early and togetherness, and you know, so that they will want. Because if a child's doing well when they're kindergarten and they're doing well in juniors, and then when they get to high school they're still doing well, they're more likely to go to university. But most kids, they do badly in juniors and kindergarten, and then when they go to secondary school, all they want to do is do badness. Do you see what I'm trying to say? And then that's when they end up going to jail and other things. You see? So if they invested more money into the lower education, not the university, because black kids don't even reach there, a majority of our children don't, especially boys. You see? So they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing, and that's how I know for certain. Because if I know that, and I'm only 32, and Bill Cosby don't know that yet, that means he's working for the best interest of the devil, brothers.
Okay, now. Now,
ding, 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 devil, I win the bet. No one took the bet.
Let me get Supreme. Supreme, you know what? All right. You know what? You had some very lucid points there. You really did. I like that. But the only problem is we did have that at one time. It's called segregation. And we bought into the integration lie that was told to us that helped start the decline of the educational system of the black man. So, you know what? Before we get to talking about what they should do with the, what we should do is go back to where we were, have an education in our own schools where our own individuals are educating us. And I think that'll be a lot better. 8%, listen, 8% of teachers in the United States are black, okay? Now, you know, as what, 62, a little bit more than that is Caucasian or white. You know, so there's a disparity there also. Now, if you really want to say that, well, then why is Oprah going into Africa building schools over there? She has enough money. She lives, you know, she started in Chicago. Why don't she build some schools over there? Okay, so now you want Bill Cosby. He built a couple of schools here. But what about the rest of the country? What about the rest of the kids that won't get these new schools built? You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, you have to look at it more than just they have money and they should do this, because it's a systematic problem that encompasses everyone right now. You know, not just certain specific areas. You know, yes, some are worse than others. That's, you know, that's the way it is. But we just have to get together and make it work as a community, which is no longer exists because our kids don't go to school in our communities. The teachers don't even teach in the community, you know, but they can live right down the street from you. So sometimes, I know that's how it was when I was growing up. So, you know, it's more to it than just saying, well, Bill Cosby don't get it. Oh, yes, he gets it. But the rest of us don't get it because we're too busy trying to pick holes into what he is saying instead of sitting back and reading and understanding what he is trying to tell us. I'm through.
But I'm just trying to say, Brother Eric, that pumping a whole load of $1 million into the universities ain't going to help. You're better off if you want to help black people, right?
Let me help you understand something. Why he's putting money into the university. And by the way, they are historically black university, okay? Colleges and universities. And the reason why, because they're not getting the finances they need. A lot of them on the brink of bankrupt and closing down. So somebody needs to put money into it because the government not putting any money into them anymore. And most of the black students that used to go there, you know, they have graduated and become so intellectual now, they're not going to the historically black universities anymore. So money has to come from somewhere. You know, money has to come from somewhere. No, you can't let it burn.
Knucklehead,
I'm not going to let you say nothing. You do not let no higher education, school of education burn, especially not once for your people. What kind of mess is that, man? Good Lord. If that's the case, how are you going to learn about your history, your background? Huh? How are you going to do that? That's all I'm saying. Go ahead, Beasley. I think you was going to say something.
No, I just don't get the logic in what he's saying. You know, I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know what his experience is. You know, Supreme's experience is probably far different than mine. But saying that black people don't make it to go into college, I know too many examples where that's not true. Too many examples.
I know too many examples
where it's not true. You have a real, and I don't know your experience, and I don't know where you live, how you live, and who you live around, and what you see every day. Okay? But I give you testimony that there are black people that are doing fine. You know, they may have struggles like everyone else out here, competing in this bad economy. But there's plenty of black people with plenty of skills that function in the world, just kind of like white people.
Brother, in the UK, right, 1 in 4 black Caribbean boys graduate from school. 2 in 5 black women graduate from school. These are British numbers, and I know American numbers.
That's probably higher than I'm sure that's higher than in the U.S. When you say graduate from school,
I reckon it's the same.
No, I think the figures would be lower here in the States now.
It's lower in the United States. 26%
of high
school graduates. 26% last year graduated high school.
Okay, so it's the same.
Wow.
So 2 out of 5 is 40%, Supreme, so you're higher in the...
Yeah, but you're saying finish school. Finish high school or
that's
finish
right. That's
college.
What it said in the article.
I'm saying that. No, I believe your accumulation... In the UK GCSEs, in America, you graduate. And I'm saying, if you don't get good grades yet,
I'm sorry,
and I'm saying 1 in 4 black boys get good grades when they leave
graduation.
School.
Yeah, no, I made a mistake.
It seemed a little low. I was like, wow.
But wait a minute. Hold on. So, Harvey, what you're saying is if you throw more money into it, more kids will graduate. If that's what you're trying to say?
No. You got to throw more money into the ground up, to build the basic level where we're learning subtraction, times, add, memory. And what would really help our people is role model. We should have a class for role model. So that we can see black role models. Because that thing, we didn't have no one to aim to. We didn't like black people made the mobile phone, computers, internet. We don't know these things. And these things would be good to help us move forward, and so we can have a dream like Rob to the sport. We can look to black people who've done, made cars, made aeroplanes, helicopters. You understand? We can look to some. We'll teach that. You understand?
That,
we ain't got no role models when we look.
That would be... I would say that would be a parent's job if they're not teaching that in school, and they're probably not teaching that in school.
Well, we know
but
that
would be a parent's job, and there's plenty of information out there. There's plenty of information.
With the financial restraints, though, brother, with the financial restraints that have been put upon us, right? A lot of people can't, at least like both parents have to work. You know what I'm saying? People don't have that time, and I'm just saying.
Now,
hold
on, Supreme.
You got more excuses than a pregnant
hold on.
Woman, Supreme.
Hold on, Supreme. Hold on for a minute. Supreme, that is a very, very crazy thought process there. Because regardless of whether you work, your two parents work, or whatever, you still should have time to sit down and go over education with your kids. That's crazy, man. And you know what? And that's part of the problem. Everybody look at that.
But I never had it when I was little. I can do it now, but not everyone else. Not everyone has that. A majority of people. I don't know anyone who had
but
that.
But well, should that
the
show?
But, you know,
so
I grew up
that
in
should
a hard
be. So that should still be an excuse then for each parent that just because they didn't have only the kid, they can survive without it. They don't have to do it with their kids, right? Let's be honest. The world today is a whole lot different from the world back then. You know, and what you're talking about is the reason why we have so many kids on the corner right now, on the block in the middle of the night, because parents feel like they don't need to do that, you know, and that's the way you're thinking right now, which is the wrong
way.
Well,
I'm not going to do that yet. I can blame, we can blame the generation above me to drop the ball. Like a lot of my, people my age, they blame the generation above them,
Hang on for a minute. Poverty, we can't hear all this. I mean, it's, go ahead, Eric.
Who do I blame?
Yeah.
I blame the man in the mirror. I blame each and every parent.
So you blame black society. You can't blame parents because children graduate next month. We have not been taught to be parents.
Hold on. Slow your roll. See, and that's a fallacy that everybody want to believe in, but that's bull crap. Because if your parents sitting down and setting the proper example for you, then they are being taught how to be parents.
Well, let me explain this, how this works.
No.
And I spent a lot of time in public schools. You want me to...
But see, that's what you fail to realize. It starts before you get to public school. See, everybody want to put it on the school. Why don't you put it where the belongs? And the parent in the house. That's like building a house without no foundation. What you think is going to happen? It's going to fall the freak down. See what I'm saying? So that is a bunch of bull crap, Pancake. What?
I don't agree with that, brother.
Of course you don't. Yeah, so whatever. But anyway, and that's just downright crazy. You have to put it on the parent. Dang.
Somebody has to take some responsibility somewhere.
Exactly.
Hold on, all I'm hearing from Supreme is an excuse after an excuse after excuse. You've got a reason not to ever do anything or never do anything successfully. It's not easy out there.
Not at all.
You got to navigate your way through this stuff with the hand that you were dealt. Life ain't about making excuses. It's about trying to deal with the hand that you're dealt and get to the next step.
Mm. That's right.
No uses for excuses.
Mm. All right. Let me bring Vernon in. He had his hand up. I'm sure he still want to talk. Vernon, you there?
Heck, I was not trying to push that button, man.
But you know you want to say something.
No, I'm listening, man. I wasn't trying to push the button. I'm trying to cook and all that good stuff, bro.
All right. I'm going to let you slide with that one. All right.
Let me slide.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. But, you know, I still say you have
to
start preparing.
Can I make a rebuttal, please?
Well, hold on. Let me let Pianki get his in first. Since he said I'm a dummy, so go ahead, Pianki. Go and tell me how come I'm a dummy.
Well, you cut people off before they can get the words out. What are you afraid of?
I'm not afraid of anything special.
How can a parent say? Wait a minute. The school systems have been terrible. We complain about that all the time. So once you break that circle, and you got children coming out of school have never been taught the civic duties. Neither have they been taught about parenthood. So how can they teach something they have never seen? Let me ask you this. How can a young girl, and I've said this before, how can a young girl know what to expect out of a husband if she has never seen it played out between a mother and a father? Eric, explain that.
But damn, Pianki, you just said what I said.
You blaming parents or something? They don't know what to do themselves.
You are right, and that's what I said.
Oh, man,
Bye. I'm glad you hung up. See, that's what you do when you want to hear the truth. You run. Run on. Dang it, run on down the street. Go ahead, you too. Go ahead. Come on. I'm ready for you. Bring it.
What? This is the thing, brother. All I'm dealing with is empathy, brother. I just understand. When I speak to other parents, I say, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. They either don't know, what I know, right? Because they never got taught it. The devil never taught them that when they was coming up.
Ding, 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 you said devil.
They say they don't have the time. But they say the time. A lot of people have to work 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, man.
And your point
their family, both parents.
And your point is poverty.
It's not like
that's another excuse.
It's not like when my dad came up. Hold on. When my dad came up, right, my granddad used to work and my grandma used to stay home. That's how he could afford to do that on his wages. Now things have changed. Both parents are on their feet. And if they can't, if they're paying taxes, hold on. If we're paying taxes, right? Why can't we expect that?
Why can't you expect that?
Yeah.
Why can't you expect what? Poverty.
Good education, a better education. That's all I'm saying. I'm just showing empathy for my people around me because that's the common excuse you're going to get, and I have to respect that. They don't know. Most of them, they just don't know. And they don't have the time. Such single parents and all that.
Oh, you don't have the time. They don't have
had
the time.
Any kids.
I'm just saying, I'm just showing empathy. I'm not making no excuses for myself. I'm just showing empathy for my people.
Using your scenario, they don't have time, but they have time to go out there and smoke a cigarette. They got time to go and get a drink or something. They got time to go to the club somewhere. So why they don't have time? It's called time management. And if you have kids, you should make time for your children. And that's part of the problem also. The television is not an educator, okay? You are the educator. See, and we want to come up with all these great excuses, but the bottom line is you got to lay the foundation for anything first. But we find reasons to do everything else except for spend time with our kids and educate our kids at what they need to know. That's bull crap, man.
I say that the responsibility lies on the shoulders of the parents, and the parents who bear the ultimate responsibility for how they're bringing up their kids, I get kind of vilified. But you know, when other people say,
see, because you're white, so okay. You're white, and your people were the ones who put in us in this situation.
Make where the truth comes from.
That's why you get dealt with like that.
Wait a minute, Eric has to reason with it.
But I don't understand that. You can't say that.
Let me understand.
Wait a minute, hold on, Supreme.
Your people put us in this situation.
Hold on, Supreme.
What I'm saying is that.
Good grief! You got a lot of. I'm glad I don't have your mindset, Supreme.
Here's what I want to find out. So you're saying, Supreme, if Italians, Irish, Germans have that particular mindset, and because they're white, and because you're Jamaican, and Eric and Beasley are American blacks, that particular philosophy should not apply unless you said it or unless they said it.
Yeah, that's crazy. The truth is the truth no matter where it comes from.
It's because of your government. No.
The truth
is the
truth
no matter
what
the
source.
It's because of your government and your people while we're in a situation that the black man...
I'm not disagreeing with you. Why are you saying black people down? But what's that got
to
do with the philosophy that the American parents, regardless whether they're black or white, or the UK parent, regardless whether they're Jamaican or English, what does that got to do with the responsibility being the
man? You know what? You know what I'm learning about people and this show in particular? When somebody has something stuck in their mind and their bias, whatever it is, whether it be their aversion to homosexuality or their racial trips, it consumes each, it's a part of each and every one of their thought processes. That shit is a sickness. That shit is a disease. When your aversion to homosexuality or your uncomfortability with interracial relationships and race or ethnicity, when that consumes every single thing that you think and talk about, that shit is a disease. I'm glad I don't have that disease.
Rebuttal. Can I rebut?
Please.
Now
go
listen,
ahead.
Black Beasley. The reason why I say what I say to Joe is this: at the end of the day, we have to look on it. We have to look at it properly. Now look, if for example, someone said, all right. A white man says, I don't know why black people start up racist groups like the Black Panthers. Why the hell? Why do they start their own organizations? That's a stupid question for. That's a stupid thing to say for a white man to say that to a black man when they're the ones who forced us to do these things, because they're the ones who were Ku Klux Klan. You know, and used to come with their suits and burn me.
Before you jumped in,
that's the reason why black people have to come together.
Can I take 15
that's
seconds?
That's what
Joe,
I'm trying to say. The question
seconds.
That you
go ahead.
Say,
my
15 said to me, Joe,
into 2 hours.
Just
right,
reminded me of the same. Joe, when you say that, Joe, it's just it just seems like you're trying to patronize. These times, your race is the reason why we're in the situation we're in now. Now, if you teach your people to treat the black man with equal rights, equality, and justice, right, then we can build.
Okay, can
you know
I
what I'm saying?
Now?
But you can't be telling a black man that. I can with Mr. Talk, me and him will reason about it, because he's a black man, and I know he's living in the same, he gets the same stereotypes as me.
Right.
Maybe if he's wearing certain clothes at least. If a black man's wearing a hoodie and a tracksuit, he's gonna get treated like a street Negro. Straight. There's no buts about it.
All
right.
Now,
if you ain't dressed accordingly as a black man, you're gonna get treated with the same stereotype.
All right, Parvati. Your time is up. Mate. Your time is up. All right. Go ahead, Joe.
All right.
Say,
I'm not disagreeing with the way that the black man is being looked at by white people. I'm not disagreeing that the white people still today, especially in yesteryear, treated black people most atrociously. You can take a look at the pictures of what happened to slaves when they got whipped. I agree with you on that. okay? However, at the same time, what I'm saying, is, I think, is a universal element, okay, in that parents have to teach their children certain values so that when they are growing up and when they finally get grown, they can succeed in life to do whatever they want to do so that they become, well, some people might say responsible adults. That's kind of like the drone attitude. But to be successful and happy and powerful, no matter what the race is, it still boils down to the parents, regardless of whether you're white or you're black or you're Hispanic or you're Asian. Now go ahead, Bubby.
Now, let me rebut.
I kind of lost my train of thought, but I think I can catch it up.
Supreme, go ahead.
You don't have to tell me. I know very well that there's a whole lot about black folks, black culture, and the black experience that white people will never get. Okay? They'll just never get it. It's impossible for them to really get it. I know that well. I witness that all the time. However, if somebody says something that's true, the message is still the same. If Joe says 2 + 2 = 4 and Mr. Talk says 2 + 2 = 4, they get the same result. The fact that the 4 is the number that you come up with doesn't change because it's Joe that's white or Mr. Talk that's black. The truth is the truth no matter where it comes from.
Hold on, Supreme. Somebody else want to come into the conversation. Let me welcome Divine Design into the house, in the conversation.
Hello, gentlemen.
Divine. Hi, how are you?
I'm going to come in the lines then here now. Okay, I was brought, I lived in the UK for 30 years, okay? Both of my boys were educated in the UK. And it's a parent's responsibility. My kids were educated by me at home. That I sent them to school, but they were educated by me. And I was always went to the school. If something wasn't right, if there was racism being taught, I was there because I will not have any of it. And my sons are not racist. My sons are both white, and they know right from wrong, and they got it from me.
Mm. So my
younger son is in the UK now, right? He is wears hoodies. He's got tattoos. And people look at him differently, and he gets treated differently. I always told him, don't have tattoos, or if you want to have a tattoo, okay, then make sure you can cover it up with a jumper or with a hoodie. No, he had to get tattoos on his neck, he had to get tattoos on his hands, and I told him, this is your responsibility, I told you not to do it, because people will look at you differently. But there comes a time in a parent's life you can tell them and educate them and guide them. They're going to do what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to live with the consequences.
Well, all that is again, though, lady, is that,
no, okay,
that they think that in England, if you dress like a black person, they're just going to think that, you know, you're a white boy who wants to be black, so you're going to be...
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on, Supreme. Well, hold on, Supreme. Let me ask you something. What is dressing like a black person?
Well, we can see, like, what Eminem does and all them, you know, them rappers. And then we know what dressing like a white boy they're trying to copy, you know, dressed like a black man. We know when they're wearing bandanas, they got all these... You know, they're holding up the West Coast or whatever their signs, whatever, man.
Well, hold up now. Look, I know some Latinos and Hispanics been walking around with bandanas and stuff long before the black man have. Don't nobody say they trying to dress like a Latino or a Hispanic, but all of a sudden you see somebody
well,
that's automatically
though.
A black
that's,
guy.
No, that's,
why is
that's
that so
different?
Different?
Though.
Why is that so different?
Well, that's different because we're both the bottom of the heap. We're, you know. No, and the native and the Latinos probably just ahead of us because this is a world class system, whether we like it or not. The darker you are, the worse the treatment you're going to get anywhere on this planet. Bottom line.
No, I disagree.
You can't,
I disagree.
White man can go anywhere on this planet.
That might be true for the most part until you add some money into the equation. Look at Alexander Botang in England. The fashion designer. He's Ghanaian.
Okay.
And he's the toast of the town. I guess maybe he's the exception and not the rule. But
no, when he's around Versace and Ralph Lauren. Around them. And Mark Eco, he gets treated like a nigger.
You think so?
Can I say something to this?
He said that word again. All right, go ahead, Joe. Yeah. He said that word. Go ahead. Anybody got anything else to say?
Well, I actually have to chime in there again because I got two sons. My eldest son is going out with a black girl, right? My eldest son is dressing totally different than my younger son. My younger son is a hoodie kind of guy. You know, he looks like a gang member, but he's not. He's not in any gang or nothing. It's just him. That's his expression, how he feels or how he wants to express himself. My other son is shirt, nice trousers, you know, even sometimes a tie. So they were both brought up by the same mother, two totally individual children.
Let me ask you a question, Design.
Mm-hmm.
You've got one kid who's trying to emulate the thug type of projection and type of model. But
right.
When he gets into because you said you raised him right, I presume he went to college, or was he going to college?
No, my oldest son is going to college now.
Oh, but not the one who's trying to emulate the thug atmosphere, huh?
No, the thug atmosphere was, he was totally a different child as well, but he got in trouble with the police and,
beaten. Doesn't apply. Because the thing I'm trying to make out is that prejudice does exist. But if a person does, and as Beasley said, money, you know, he didn't say it, but what he meant was money's a great equalizer. When money comes in the situation, you don't mind associating with people who have the same kind of money or more money than you do. And yet, Supreme is right, too. You get treated like, an N-word. The thing is that if a person does have the kind of education, the stature, and the money that the white equivalent, the Asian equivalent, the Hispanic equivalent, if everybody has that same type of stature, I would think that it would be a better life for black people, Hispanics, whites, etc., if they all had the money, the stature. Now, of course, prejudices could still exist, but I would bet the 100 pounds that Beasley was wagering that a black person gets more respect as a want, like Dr. Ben Carson. The 200,000 signatures want him to run for president. It was the 20,000. One of them.
Right.
Thousand.
Right. I agree with the racism exists. I mean, racism even exists in my color, right? When my son was going to, from grade one up to, after he finished the grade school and went up to high school, that's where racism kicked in with him. He was treated really differently. He was beaten up because, why? Because all of a sudden the kids found out his mother was actually German. So he had everything flung at him from that, I'm personally responsible all of a sudden for killing all Jewish people, you know, in the 30s and all this and that. So he got it because of my nationality. He was beaten up. I had to take him out of that high school to put him somewhere else. So I know what racism is like. When you're in
Hold on a second. Was he beaten up by people? Was he beaten up by black kids? Was he beaten up by Latin kids?
Black
kids. He was beaten
kids
up by white kids.
He was beaten up by white kids.
Then
black
how the hell
kids.
Was that racism?
They were probably Jewish.
No. They were living in
race. That's not racism.
It is racism when you attack somebody.
That is not racism.
It is not?
No, that is not racism.
What is it then?
That's just some regular old bullying.
Because
for whatever reason. Where are the two different races that makes that racism? You said
I,
your
I
sons
can, I can
tell you
that now.
You said your son's white. You said these other kids were white. They attacked him because your nationality was different.
That's
because,
right.
Right.
Because
so that's not racism. That's not racism. That is not racism, lady. I'm not going to say it again.
Don't. How do you know? Because I lived it.
Good grief. You don't know what racism is because it's the same
really?
Race.
I don't know what racism is. If you live in the UK as a German person, you know, you
that's
be,
not
be called,
racism.
You
those
will
are
be
the same race.
A Nazi. You
that's
will be
maybe nationalistic conflict, but that's not racism.
No, it is racism.
Good grief.
If an English person beats up on a German child, you don't call that racism?
Because it's not racism. Anybody knows that. That's white
maybe
on white crime. Where's the racism?
Where's
the racism?
Just because you're black, just because you're color,
no, it's
or
the
different
same
color,
people
and
as you,
I would
oh,
say something
grief.
To you.
Right.
I would say something to you because of your color. I wouldn't say anything about your color because I don't even see your color. When I say something about you, not you personally, not you personally.
If I told you you were a dumb British person, is that racism?
What?
If I told you that you're a British person and your British accent is dumb and you're dumb, is that racism?
No, I would still told you you're ignorant.
All right, then that's what your son is experiencing, ignorance.
No, but what you're
racism.
Saying, what you're saying is, no, I'm going to tell you now. I had this already. One of my sons...
God, you're giving me a headache. You go ahead.
No.
You don't have to explain. I know what it is. You don't know what it is.
Oh, but don't be... Really, I don't know what it is.
Seriously, if they're attacking
I don't know
your
what
son
it is.
Because you're
black
a German
people
descent.
Are racist. Black people are racist against white people. I'm going to tell you now because my son was out with a black girl. The father knocked on my door and he said, I don't want your son, white scum son, going out with my black daughter. And I told him to leave my house with his racist attitude or I kick his bloody butt.
That's a totally different situation. That's a totally different situation.
No, it's not. Why?
If you can't see it, and I've explained it, you're just not going to get it.
What? I'm not educated enough, I suppose.
No, I'm not trying to put you down. I would think that the light would go off in your head, and you would see that Germany and England, they're both white people. There's not racism. It's
Germany and England, there's still a prejudice against Germany from England.
That has nothing to do with race.
It
you
has
could
got
stand a German person
race,
next to
Germany
both
is always
though.
Stand a German person
race.
Next to person and not be
because,
able to tell what
that is. Because there's an Anglo-Saxon
that
connection.
Both
it's
ways.
Not racism. It's okay. It's prejudice. It's extreme prejudice for whatever particular reason. It's not. You're saying it's not racism because you have to have two different races in order to have racism. But
it doesn't take a nuclear scientist to figure that one out.
But at the same time, I understand what she's saying. Maybe she's either misinterpreting the term racism or the racism might mean something different to her because she's in Germany, but at the same time, it's prejudice against
racism,
nationality.
Joe.
So
interpreting the term.
Okay.
And she's sticking to it and going
to
fight.
I am going to stick to it. I'm going to stick to it because I experienced it and I'm always going to stick to it because you are not German. You do not live under my flag. And when I go to the U.K., I get
you know that I'm not part German.
A racist attack. My sons get racist attacks. It goes vice versa, too, because there's still this stupidness from stupid people, even in this, my son's generation, who've been taught to hate Germans. And I do not know why this still is, because I think we have to come over this flipping hill now, stop this racism, and stop about color and all this and all that. If I don't like a black person, it's not because of their color, because I don't like their attitude towards other people.
I don't think
people.
Anybody's discounting the fact that your child or yourself have undergone, horrific events in which people will take a look at you because of your accent and because you're in Germany, you're an immigrant, that they have this anti-immigration bias, and therefore they're going to take it out on you and or your children. But what all Beasley's saying is that here in America, there is an extreme condition called racism based upon the differences in races. And what you've undergone may be just as horrific to a certain degree, but it's not exactly racism. It's nationalism or it's an ethnic divide. That's all.
Okay. Okay, but I'm going to
say... It's not even an ethnic divide. It's a national divide. I bet you could stand an English person and not be able to see the difference.
But Black Measley, I have never heard of a story where a German person has been beaten to death because they're German.
Yeah, right.
There's many stories, and every week a black man's dying in the hands of the police out here. You see those stories where black people are getting killed because of their color.
Yeah, but I see stories too that white people get killed
monthly.
By black people.
I've never heard of a German getting killed for his color.
I have never heard of a German getting killed for his race.
They make jokes, yes, but Germans don't. But listen, this lady, don't act like the Germans don't hate the British as well. If a British person's in Germany, they're gonna get it the same way as you get when you're in the UK.
Absolutely not, because racism is totally.
No, don't try it.
If you
Germans hate British as much as the British hate the Germans.
Can we get away from this?
If you
they both hate each other.
I don't know.
She's had experiences. You've had experiences. I've had experiences. You know, you get, you all think that just because somebody's a pale face that other pale faces don't, don't try to get consensus.
Yeah, but Joe, people fight and don't get along with each other. But to call it racism,
well, I understand,
and then to
that,
hold
see?
On to it
I
that
agree.
Strongly like she's doing.
I am going to stand up for it, because I'm going to say to you, I was in the United States too in 2000, and I went to New York, and I actually got lost, and I got lost with my two children in the Bronx, and there were loads of black people, and the way I approached the black people is the same way I would approach everybody. I would approach them with respect and ask them for if they could help me to find my way out of here, and what did they do? They respected me because I was talking to them at the same level as I would talk to any human being. So it's the way you talk to people, it's the way you communicate with people. It's got nothing to do with
talent.
You could have went some places in the Bronx and got robbed.
I didn't, because not everybody in the Bronx is a bad black person.
I've been in the Bronx. My grandparents live in the Bronx.
Puerto Rican.
I can't do this.
Did you see any bad black people in the Bronx, though? Not all black people in the Bronx are bad people, that means you would have had to see bad black people.
No, because what I saw on TV, that all black people, in this crime TV shows, black people are selling drugs, black people are pimps and all this. And when I went to the United States of America, I did not see anybody like that. I saw people who were begging on the street, but I treated them the same as I would treat
All right.
We're going to give you a medal.
All right, Eric's not here, I'm going to assume control of the show. Hello,
right.
People. Eric's not here. I'm going to assume control of the show because he gives it to me ordinarily when he's not here.
All right.
Here's the thing. The thing is that Divine, you're trying to make a particular point. Beasley is correct, okay? If you want to say that it's racism, fine, okay. But can we get on with what your particular point was?
My particular point is, I think we as grown people and adults really should kick ourselves and should be really disgusted with ourselves that we are still in 2014 are still talking about racism. We haven't come anywhere. I mean, I hear black people on this show pulling each other down when they really should be uniting and then get over the fact. Yes.
We got Mary Poppins over here telling us how black
that's
people should
right.
act. All right. That's where I draw the line.
All right. Hold on. I'm back. All right, and we're going to have to cut this show right here because I got an emergency and I need to get off the air here real fast. But we're going to let y'all get your last words in real fast. So, and we're going to start with who is this? I don't know who this is, but we're going to bring him in. 111, welcome to the show. Your last words.
Yes, Mr. Talk. I just want to say when you left, the white man Joe took over. Damn, black folks, y'all have a nice day.
I told you he would be back. I win that bet too. I told you he would be back.
All right. Crazy. All right, Supreme, make it short. Go for it.
Betty says devil.
Supreme? Are
well,
you
right,
there?
She's listening to us tomorrow, and I was just saying I don't try to blame the white man, but at the end of the day, I know what the woman's trying to say. She's trying to say we shouldn't be talking about it. Maybe the white man shouldn't be, because they got all the control, but the black man, I mean, we need to unite the black race, and we need to stop killing each other. And the only way we can come together at this time is with a common goal. And that's just to free ourselves, man.
All right. Thank you, sir.
That's it.
Okay. Have a great one. All right. Ooh, Ms. Divine Design, you up.
And I actually agree with Granny in the chat room. We missed the whole conversation, and we should have been talking about the veterans, really, because in the end, there's black, white, you know, even the Indians or anybody else. They need our help. And, you know, in the end, when you cut them all open, they actually have got all the same color blood.
Hmm. All right. Well, thank you. All right. Beasley, you up.
I don't know. I'm over here shaking my head. I can't believe someone can use a term and really doesn't know what it means consistently, even after you explain it to them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I don't get it. It's hard to communicate with people when they're so inflexible that you're telling them the truth about something and explaining it to them, and they're going to fight you. So that's all. It's real hard.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. All right. Thank you, sir. And last but not least, Joe, you up.
Okay. Mike was right. I assume control of the show when you weren't around. If I call and if you don't answer, then I know that you're busy. So then as a result, you have given me control of the show when you've gone away before. So I've assumed the control again. If you don't want me to do that when people are talking over one another, then I'll just hang back.
Okay, let's continue on to something else. You'll find the words because you know how we work that. Okay,
okay.
So next.
Good. No, I'm just hoping that whatever the emergency is, you take care of it that to your satisfaction. And, you know, I'll see you when I see you.
All right. And that's it, y'all. See y'all tomorrow for Freedom Friday. Remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with open heart. And if you ever given yourself first, there's no way you can forgive anyone else. All right? And the big thing, remember to learn to laugh at yourself. You can laugh at yourself. Everything else is gravy. All right?